Well, good morning again. It's good to be here, and it's good to be anywhere when you get as old as me. Because this will be the last sermon I'll preach in Salisbury Baptist Church before I turn 80. Say, he doesn't look that old, does he? Well, he is. I was born in 1941, so that's 80 years ago, isn't it? So if I live until the end of next month, I'll be 80 years old. Or as they say in Ireland, 80 years old. And this is my real hair. This is my second crop of hair. If you want hair like this, well then, get cancer and go through chemo and you end up with hair like this. Not really. I wouldn't recommend it. I was having a quiet coffee the other day, and my phone rang. And it's Jim Gibson. And he says, would you help me out on Sunday? I said, I haven't got my diary with me, but I haven't been doing very much with COVID. I'm not traveling very much because my wife and I have traveled a lot since we retired 15 years ago, all over Australia, parts of the world as well. And I think it's free, Jim. I'll be happy to come. So that's why you're stuck with me this morning. So it's good to be here. And Jim has been a friend of mine for quite some time. We've got a few things in common. He's got a good Northern Irish name. Gibson is a good Northern Irish name. And also, he loves evangelism, and that's my heart. And him and I have got a similar heartbeat when it comes to evangelism. So it's good to be here this morning. I want the verses were read to us this morning from the book of Daniel. So I want to speak to you this morning from the book of Daniel about these three young men who were put into a fiery furnace. And this was a test of their faith. And I think this day and age, where our faith is being tested, would you say? Are you thinking they're tightening the screws on those of us who are supposed to be Christians or are Christians? On everybody. You know, that stuff that's going on in the world. I cannot believe that I've lived long enough to see and the stuff that's being done, the laws that are being passed. And God is speaking very loudly to this world. But it seems there's not too many people listening. And the thing is that God is still in control. There's nothing happening that he doesn't allow. And when Jim asked me, he says, speak on whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And I started to think and pray about what I should say and what I should speak about. And as I thought of this story of these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we used to say when we were young fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abed we go, because a lot of people couldn't pronounce Abednego. And these young men are going through a time of trial. So it is a trial of their faith. And when you look through the book of Daniel chapter 3, from verse 1 to 12 is a test of their faith. And from 13 to 18 is a demonstration of faith. And from 19 to 30 is vindication of their faith. See, it's very easy to praise the Lord when everything's going good. But what if things go against you? What if you had to face a time of trial? And there may be some here this morning going through a trial. Could be a health crisis. Could be a business crisis. Could be a marriage crisis. Could be anything. And you know, 13 years ago, I was a very healthy 67-year-old. I'd been to Ireland. I'd put on weight. I got to 10 stone the first time in my life. 64 kilos I was. And I got a sore leg. My hip was sore. And two doctors said, you got sciatica. Well, I couldn't even spell sciatica. I had to go to the dictionary and find out how to spell it. But I didn't have sciatica. My wife, the day after my 67th birthday, my favorite wife, whom I've had for 53 years, people say, how many you got? I said, just one. She's my favorite. Took me to the PA hospital down the road there, not far from here. And they didn't let me out for 18 days and told me that I had a fractured femur, and also that I had, and they asked me, what, did you have a fall? I says, no. I come off the radon more about 6 months ago, but I don't think it'd be that. I've got my pride badly hurt. Have you lost any weight? I said, no. I've been to Ireland, they feed you like a king, and I put weight on. And do you feel sick? I said, no, I feel well. I says, fix me, help and get me out of here. I don't like hospitals. But they didn't let me out for 18 days. And I come out with a full hip replacement. So I'm not the man I used to be. I'm worth a lot more now than I used to be. Because a hip costs over $30,000. And also with the news that you've got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, B-cell, stage 4. And if I don't treat you soon, you'll be dead. So I was facing a crisis. I was going through a time of testing. All that year of 2008, I was the busiest year of my life. I was traveled all over Australia. I'd been half around the world. I'd just come back from Ireland. And I walked off an aeroplane on the 9/11, on the 11th day of September, with a sore hip. And I had to go through a time of testing. And you see, I want to zero in on one verse, and that's verse 15. And I'm reading it from the Northern Ireland version, the NIV. I don't like ESV, with all due respects. And here's what it says. What does verse 15 say in ESV? What does it say? Verse 15, can somebody read that? It's not the same as mine. Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of... I can't read that. Here's what mine says. Verse 15 says this. If we can find the start of it. Verse 15 says this. Now when you hear... that's it. Hear that? Oh, that's musical stuff. I skip that. But if you do not worship, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And here's what this arrogant king says. Listen to what he says. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Such arrogance. Then what God will be able to deliver you, it says up there, out of my hands? That's not too bad either. Arrogance. Who's in control of this planet? Who's in control of this world? The God of heaven is. And he's the one that will be able to rescue you and deliver you in a time of crisis. And I proved that. I told a doctor my situation. He says, Eric, you shouldn't be alive. I said, well, here I am. This is me. God healed my body and made me strong again. And you know the two words he gave me? Trust me. It's not easy to trust when things are going against you. Here's young men facing a crisis. And they're fully trusting their God. And you see, I asked the question, this happened about 2,500 years ago, 500 or 600 years before Christ. I asked the question, has God changed? Has he? Do we have the same God today as those men had back 2,500 years ago? Yes, we have. God is a God that changes not. And that's why today we should take heart. And don't get depressed and run down by the stuff that's going on around us. Because God's in control of the situation. And as I move around a bit, I cannot believe the amount of Christians I find that are fearful. I was preaching the other Sunday morning, and they wouldn't even shake my hand. I said, give me a break. Don't elbow me. I said, no, we don't shake hands here. Big sign up. No shaking hands. Huh? What are you afraid of? Oh, what if you get it? Well, you might die from it. Yes, you might. I said, well, so what? People say to me, what if you died, little Irish, during that time of trial? I said, I still had the best deal. We've got hope, folks. And it says, for me to live, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die is what? Gain. So for the Christian, you'd be better dead, people. Like the lady was taking tablets. The lady was in heaven and she was crying. And the man says, no tears in heaven. Why are you crying? She says, for 20 years I was taking tablets to keep myself out of this place. Think about it. I see people, I was at a place the other day, and a woman taking a handful of tablets. What's that for? For this, for that, for something else. I just stopped taking them. You know, we need to trust God. We talk about it. We give lip service to stuff. See, I used to think I understood what it was like for people to be sick. I had no idea. Absolutely no idea what it's like to be sick, because I never had been very sick. 67 years, I had colds and flus. I was healthy. I was active. I was a go-getter little bloke. Always have been that. Loved life. Always a funny little bloke. Get myself, when I was in school, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I says, I want to be a comedian. And they all laughed at me. That's the sort of person I was. And all of a sudden, my life comes to a stop. Then what do? And you know, these young men here, and you'll talk. We'll, in chapter 4, we'll talk about Daniel. These young men were in captivity for 70 years. They were taken from their homeland to a place of captivity, and they were kept captives. But they never lost their testimony. They stood for God. And here's these three young men facing this terrible dilemma. And you see, what if, and here's what they said, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, never heard too many children called Nebuchadnezzar, have you? Aye? Australians would call him Neb. They love shortening their names, don't they, in this country? My mom thought she gave me a name called Eric, who would never be shortened, and I was only in Australia about a month, and the bloke says, good morning, Eck. I said, Eck? Morning, Eck. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Huh? How strong a faith is that? Standing up to a king. We don't need to be afraid of you, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. Is that a statement of faith or is it not? Do you have a faith like that? People say, oh, I've got a strong faith. And then when the trial comes, they fall like a pack of cowards. I say to you this morning, what's your faith in? My faith's not on the government, I can tell you that. Aye, Anastasia Palaszczuk, my faith's not on her. No. My faith is in God. And if I go out and I get COVID and I die, I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better. So we Christians are the best deal, I tell you. And here's blokes here 3,500 years ago are proving that. It says, but even if he does not, and we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And you see, this man had built this huge statue, which was 30 meters high and about 3 meters wide. It was 90 feet by 9 feet. It was a huge structure. And he wanted the people to bow down and worship that, and they refused to do it. And there's a song written about they refused to bow and they refused to burn. And then when Nebuchadnezzar got them thrown in, cutting a long story short, he got them through, and the fellow, he heated the thing up 7 times hotter than normal. And the men that brought them up were actually consumed by the heat. And they were inside there, and somehow he was able to see in, and the Nebuchadnezzar looks in, and he says, didn't we put 3 fellas in there? Yes, O king. Well, he says, I see 4. And the 4th is like unto the son of the gods, it says here, but in the authorized it says the son of God. But remember, this is a pagan king who worshipped other gods. The son of the gods. He saw a 4th person in there. And I believe it was the Son of God. And you know, when I lay on a bed one night in the PA hospital on brink of eternity, ICU almost died that night. And going through a time like that is when, and I heard Dr. Jeremiah say this morning before I left, when you go through a time of trial, you experience the peace of God much more. And as I lay in that cubicle in the ICU in the PA, and I was fully conscious, I had absolute perfect peace and no fear whatsoever. Was that me? No. That was God in me. And remember, people, Christ in you is your hope of glory. You've got no other hope. No other hope. You can't do anything to merit God's salvation. Nothing. Not a single thing. You could work yourself to the bone, and it won't bring you one inch closer to God. As we read this morning when we took up the emblems, that old covenant was a two-party arrangement. God did his part, man was to do his part. And man failed and failed miserably. And the old covenant was a total failure. And God says, I'm bringing in a new system. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, of which we commemorated this morning, the whole system was changed. The old is gone. That's all gone. That's the old covenant. He says, now we've got a new covenant. He says, Jesus paid it all. He set me free. We sang that chorus. He has set me free. Not, I'm not going to heaven because of anything that I have done, but because of what he has done. And you see, he offers you this morning salvation free of charge. It's a gift. It's a gift. Sometimes I speak to children and I wrap up a little present like a bar of chocolate or something. And I'll say, this gift is for whosoever will. And they don't understand the language, of course. Nobody moves. I says, this gift's for whoever will come and take it. And then they all rush. And then I say, now you owe me, you've got to give me a dollar for that. It's no longer a gift, is it? A gift is something you get for free. The Bible says, for God, grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's got nothing to do with me. Then he says, what God will rescue you. And of course, these three men, he says, I see four. And then when we go into chapter four, we will there see that he has a dream. Chapter 4, let me read it to you, a little bit of it. Chapter 4, he has a dream. Where is chapter 4? King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, the nations, and the language, may you prosper greatly. And Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. When the magicians came in, they can't interpret the dream. And then they send for a fellow called Daniel. So he's a contemporary of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and was taken as a captive as well. And these were godly young men who took a stand for God. And God's looking for people like that today, people who will stand and take a stand for him. And then Daniel came in, and he interpreted the dream. And verse 8, it says that finally Daniel came. Daniel came into his presence and told him the dream. He was called Belteshazzar after the name of one of his gods. And the musicians, and then he proceeded to tell him, he says in verse 10 and 11, he says, what does it say, verse 10 and 11, these are the visions I see while lying in my bed. I looked, and there was before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful. Its fruit abundant and honored with food for all. Under its beasts of the field kept shelter. Birds of the air lived, branches, and so on and so on. And you see, Daniel was able to interpret the dream. But he says, King, you won't like the answer. You won't like what the dream is saying. Because it's talking about you. And this tree's going to get cut down. You see, God can bring things to an end. See, people today and politics are just puppets in God's hand. And they only reigned for so long, all these blokes, Matsu Tum and all these blokes, only reigned 40, 50 years. And they're gone. And they die. And then what? And God still reigns. And he says, the tree's going to be cut down. Verse 15, let the stump and the roots remain. And verse 22, he says, O king, you are that tree. Bad news for the king. And verse 27, it says, therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that your prosperity will continue. And all this happened. And King Nebuchadnezzar was brought right down, totally humbled. He was brought right down and humbled. Totally humbled. Chapter 4 and verse 33 says this. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from the people, and he ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. So this man was totally humbled. He was eating grass like an animal. He was totally humbled. And verse 34, he's a changed man and his sanity returns. So you see, God can humble people and then God can deliver people. And verse 37, a humbled man and his pride was dealt with. You see, he was a proud man. And he went out there, and even after he saw what God did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, surely this is the God of heaven. And through all of that, and yet he still remained proud. And it's all about me. We live in a world where it's me, me, me. You know, let's take a little selfie. You know, it's all about me. I hate selfies. My arms aren't long enough. You know? It's all about me. And you see God wants to use people like you and me. Just ordinary people. Looks like me with a funny accent. I didn't know what an accent until I left Ireland. When I got to Australia 48 years ago, they said, you talk funny. I said, you Aussies talk funny too. Oh, we don't have an accent. I said, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you see, God can use all sorts of people. He needs all sorts of people. You see, the body of Christ is a body. It's on every member. And somebody that's good on the stuff up there, I would hate that job up there. Making sure you got the verses on at the right time. And I would get it all mixed up. I couldn't concentrate long enough to do all that. But people are specially skilled. And everybody's got a job to do. And we all work together as a body. And we're all in the same business. Of bringing people to Christ. I was reading one of my readings the other day. This is why I brought this question. I never know what's going to come into my head sometimes. If I can find it. You see, your lack of ministry experience doesn't limit God. Do you realize that? This is what the writer said. That's because he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Moses, you would never have picked him in 100 years. But God made him the man that he needed to be. Right? And you see, you and I, you know what you're worth. This writer says, you're worth $7. So we could people worth $7 driving around $150,000 motor cars. We could people worth $7 living in million-dollar homes. That's all we're worth. But you see, when you commit your life to God, you're going to be worth a lot more. Because then you're in kingdom business. And you're telling people about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That God can use all sorts of people to bring glory to himself. And I'm looking for someone else and I can't find it. But I'll tell it to you. This fellow called George was a headhunter. And he brought this fellow in. And he sort of gets people all relaxed. And then he turns to them. And he says, what's your purpose in life? He said to George, what's your purpose in life? And I ask you the same question today. What's your purpose in life? See, most people don't have any purpose. Go around aimlessly. I say to people, make sure you're prepared for your retirement. Because one day you're a rooster and the next day you're a feather duster. That's true, isn't it? All of a sudden, Monday morning, you don't have any work to go to. What are you going to do with yourself? Prepare for your retirement. George, what's your purpose? He says, my purpose, he says, is to go to heaven and bring as many people with me as I can. Is that your purpose? To tell people about Jesus? You got a man on this pulpit who normally preaches the gospel. And that's why I love him. I go to a lot of places today and they preach no gospel. They give you this little make me feel good talk. Warm me up for another week and then I'll come back again next Sunday. Christianity, people, is a 7-day week job. It's a 24/7. It's not something you come on Sunday morning and get a little pump up. Jack Gibson was one of the greatest coaches in rugby league. Died recently. He wrote a book. He said, winning starts on Monday. He told his players, winning starts on Monday. And I say to Christians, worship and service for the Lord starts on Monday and goes right through to Sunday. It's not a religious thing you come and do on a Sunday. God wants you to commit your life to him. With this, I'm going to finish. And I've been known to say that 2 or 3 times. Philippians chapter 4, if you've got your Bible, bring it up. Open it up. Philippians chapter 4, and somebody wrote this in our visitor's book some years ago, and I found it the other day, and I thought it was good. It says, if you're in a fix, remember Philippians 4:6. What does it say? Let's read it. I'll read it to you from here. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing. Now, what does that mean? Oh, you can be anxious about some things, but not other things. No, it says be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But at everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. Be anxious for nothing, as the Bible says. Oh, you got to be careful. Bible doesn't say that. Were these men careful? No. So we're not bowing your statue. And they got thrown into a furnace and God rescued them and brought them out. And you know, that night I lay on that bed in the PA. I felt that I had the same person beside me that night as those fellows had in the furnace. Because the Lord was right there beside me. Can I explain that? No, I can't. No, I can't. And I just felt the Lord's presence. And I pray that as you go through a time of trial, that you'll look away from self and look towards him, the author and the finisher of our faith. And when I was 17, I got saved when I was 16. When I was 16 years old, a little town in Northern Ireland. And when I was 17, I got baptized in the month of November. And that's not a warm month in Northern Ireland, believe me. It was freezing, the water. But I was so excited, I didn't feel the water. But my mother gave me advice which I never forgot. I had a godly mother and a godly father too, but my mother was a great lady. I've had great women in my life, amazing women in my life. My mother, my wife, and I got a favorite daughter. She rang me this morning, she still calls me Daddy. Isn't that nice? Happy Father's Day, Daddy. We never let our children call us by our first names. Our children still call us Dad, Mum. But my daughter calls me Daddy. She has me around her little finger, of course. She serves the Lord in Cambodia. I don't see her much, but she's home at the present. And my mom said this to me, Eric, make sure you're getting baptized for the right reason, not to please men, but to please God. And she said, I've got a verse for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, she said, the old authorized version says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. She says, always keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And when I went through that trial of sickness, I had to keep my eyes focused on Jesus because I couldn't read and I couldn't pray. And I couldn't stand listening to stuff and stuff stuck in my ears. I couldn't stand that. I couldn't take anything that was intensive. But I just had to keep my eyes focused. One eye, tunnel vision, focused on Jesus. And that's the answer. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. And everything, give thanks, making your requests known unto God. I pray that God will bless you through this time. And thank you for the opportunity of coming here today. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these young men who went through a trial of faith and they come out victorious because you were with them. We thank you that we have a God who's interested in us. He's a God who will rescue us in time of trouble. All through his word, God is our refuge and our strength. We thank you for that. I ask you to bless the folks that meet in this place. We ask your blessing upon them. Part us now with your blessing as we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.